Are we on? We're talking some more. Hopefully this will be the last day about why and what the Old Testament is. So I want to let's first go to Exodus 25. When the scriptures talk about that, you know, they gathered and they read the law, what that normally is, what that normally means is they read from Exodus 20 through Exodus 25. I don't remember where, but it's not like the full five books of the Bible. It's five or six chapters in Exodus. And where we are now in Exodus 26, it's he had just given a summary of all of the tabernacle and the offerings and everything that is to be done. And then Moses, God says to Moses this incredible thing in verse 40. Verse of Exodus 25. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now it's my belief and pretty certainty that when Moses was taken up to the mount, when he ascended to the mount and spent 40 days and 40 nights there without eating or drinking, that he ascended into eternity. And so from the standpoint of what God showed him during at his juncture into eternity, he showed him the New Jerusalem, and he showed him the temple, and he showed him each of the patterns of the offerings and each of the feasts and the details of how the feasts were to be celebrated, all of the variants and varying degrees and of the offerings, and he instructed him to Moses to make sure that thou make everything according to the pattern or the parable or the figure that was shown unto thee in the mount. Now let's see what Hebrews says about the same thing. Hebrews 8. Verse 7, he talks about the function of the priest, and that Christ was a high priest, but not after the order of Aaron. He was after the order of Melchizedek. Now in chapter 8, he says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a servant or minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So the tabernacle or the temple that man built was not the true one. It was the pattern. It was the revelation. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee unto the mount. So here what he saw is called a shadow or an image or I don't know even how to say it. But he showed him something that words could not really describe. And so it was shown to him in a parable. In the parable of the temple, it's the parable of the Old Testament, include the tabernacle, the offerings built and performed according to the pattern showed to Moses on the mount. So in order for us to see, and if we believe what Paul said, he said the law, the purpose of the law isn't that you do it. The law was given to shut up your mouth, so that all the world would become guilty before God. Well, that's the same reason we're reading the book of Ecclesiastes, to shut up your mouth. Not just this mouth, but all of the mouths of your board of elders that are your Sanhedrin sitting in you as the temple. And those mouths can have no more power over those voices can have no more power over you. Once you see the pattern, that it was. Once you see what Moses saw. Once you see that it's this, that everything is going on earth, the best that can be here is simply a pattern for that which is perfect. And so, when that which is perfect has come, the model is done away with. Israel was a model. The temple is a model. The all the offerings are a model. The feasts are a model. The everything that about the mystery of God is a pattern of Jesus Christ. Now, the mystery of Christ is, and the mystery of Spirit is, and everything else that we do, whether it's once we've captured it or we've gotten something from it, then we are bored with it. And you can watch your children. You know, you'll buy them some expensive toy, and you know, pretty soon it goes, and they're done with it. And the same is true in all of our lives. We've done that. So we don't have to do it again. Except with God, it's different. Let's go to Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great and sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered, or to be remembered isn't the right. It's remembered as Zakar, remember, so that he takes the appropriate action at the appropriate time. And that's what happens if you really look at your life. Remember we spent months on this one word because of the one phrase where it says, "And God remembered Noah." And the word, we don't have any word like it in the English language, but it means that God, with regard to Noah, took exactly the appropriate action at exactly the appropriate time from God's perspective. Well, the same is true with each one of us. God remembered Gary. and took the appropriate action at the appropriate time. And he, the revelation that he gave, what Gary saw was exactly what was necessary for him to fit in the mystery. And the same is true as we continue on. I mean, the seeing and the apprehension is not about somebody else's standard, because you are constructed so that the what you see is at the appropriate time and it's the appropriate action for what your position is in the body of the mystery, in the bride. Do you understand that? So you can't compare yourself with anybody. And this is critical that you see this. Otherwise, you'll spend your life comparing yourself to what somebody else does or what somebody else doesn't do, or whether somebody knows or what they know, blah, 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 blah. So, and he that compares is not wise. You have learned in whatsoever state you are to be content, whether you're abounding in revelation or you're in a dry place, or whether you're abounding in funds or in a dry place, whatever it is. You're content in that place that you are because God is remembering you at the appropriate time and he's taking the appropriate action for him, not for you. And most of the time, the action that he's taking with regard to what he's doing in you, you won't like, I promise you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And that doesn't mean he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it so that it's like somebody else's. This is the uniqueness. This is why we are exhorted not, you know, shall the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee? Shall the fingernail say to the toenail, I have no need of thee? Shall the hair say to the wart, I have no need of thee? Whatever it is, you're not to compare. What?
Just pray. You know, if you compare, you always come up high or low, you know, and it means nothing. It's fruitless.
The only way you can compare is to be on the judgment seat. Remember, all men are either on the judgment seat or the mercy seat.
Yeah, if you're on the judgment seat, then you're doing it. If you're on the mercy seat, you're at rest.
Well, yeah, but it's even deeper than that, because you can always, if you're sitting in the judgment seat, you can always convince yourself you're not sitting in the judgment seat.
It's even deeper than that.
You can remember how Israel, for 39 years, confused Kadesh Barnea, which simply meant sanctuary in the wilderness, with a promised land. But anyway. All right, let's go to Psalm 119. The psalm that John has to targum Psalm 119 into a song before he can die.
Are we through with 111?
For now. You can read the rest of it. I just wanted this. The works of the Lord are great, sought up. Go to 119. Start in verse 17. Now remember what Psalm 119 is? It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's structured so that each segment, each 8-verse segment, is corresponds to one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it is like this completeness of the completeness. It's like, you know, everything you need to know is locked up in here. But we're going to start. We're not going to read the whole thing because that'll take forever. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, that's really, that's all we're doing. That's what we've done. We're doing is having our eyes open so that we may see. Now, remember, what we hear, we're built in a strange way so that what we hear is what we see. And what we see is what we do. And so we get it backwards. We try to see without hearing and try to do without seeing. And so we walk around like blind men. Because we haven't heard, therefore we can't see. And therefore what we do always comes from the wrong source, because it doesn't come from this place that Moses was in eternity. It comes from response to stuff in time.
We'll
read 18 again. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandment. Remove from me the reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Now, remember, this book of Psalms was written by the Spirit of Christ in David. And they were the prayers of Christ on earth, and now they're the prayers of Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you read this, if you make you the subject of the sentence, then you get it all screwed up. All right? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Now, what's the difference between a law and a statute? There's mikvahs, laws, and statutes. Why don't you just use one word? Mikvahs are the good deeds, the deeds that the law is things that might be able to be accomplished. But the statutes are things that you can't do. Now, again, if I'm still as a child, then I'm trying to learn to do the mikvahs, and I try to do them, and I think about it, and I try to do the law, and then I always screw up, and then I try to do the law, and I try to do it better, and tomorrow I'm going to do it better. But then I run into these things called the statutes, and there are a bunch of them, that would be impossible to do under any circumstances. So what do you have to do? What you do is you say to yourself, because remember, whenever it talks in the scriptures, it talks about these shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations. Well, wait a minute. I can't do that. So what you will eventually see as you live your life and just have, you try to do something and it doesn't do it right, and you see something that you can't even think about trying to do, like rebuilding the temple or something. And then all of a sudden you find that whether it's a mikvah, the law, or the statute, it's got to be him or I'm hopeless. So it always kills you. But if you read it, I was interviewed yesterday. There's a new...
People are still calling you?
Oh, yeah. Just about daily. There's a new movement that sort of is the follow-on of Promise Keepers in within the churches all over the country. And what they're trying to do is... men fundamentally don't like church. Mostly women like church.
Girly men.
And so what they're trying to do is figure out ways of getting men back in church.
Yeah, that's like the thing.
Nicer, yeah. But they've got barbecue night and football night. They got every kind of gimmick in the universe to try to get men into church.
Lap dances.
Huh? Well, that's what I told them. I said, next it's going to be strippers. That's how you get it.
Absolutely.
Because...
You know what? They're going to be having them stripper pole in their topless choir.
Terry Hornbuckle had it.
That's right.
That was a cheap shot. But anyway, the point of it is, you can't think about how you get somebody to come. I mean, that just makes it something. I don't know what it is. But what men and women both want is adventure. We are on the most mind-blowing adventure that you can conceive of, that all other adventures are only a vain shadow of. And that's to go from the world to the mercy seat. You can go that quick, or you can take your whole life. But that's the only trip. That's the only thing that's going on. That's the one story. Anyway, what?
Nothing. I just think about things I could light from the door, some of these things.
Write it.
I scribble little notes here and there.
Write it.
Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, and judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for herein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Anyway, Psalm 119 is pretty neat. But it's, I will show you wondrous things out of my law. And we've talked about this many times. When man invents something, makes something, it is usually good for one, maybe two things. You can do one or two things with it. When God makes something, it's good for an infinite number of things. And so as we behold these wonders, whether all of the mysteries of water, or the mysteries of wine, or the mysteries of bread, or the mysteries of the seed falling into the ground, or the seed that's planted is not like this, the thing that comes up. All of these mysteries are a revelation of the one mystery. And it's not a matter of us, you know, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. But we get confused. We think that the desires of our heart they get passed through idolatry, and so it becomes something we think we want. Nobody wants all this crap that everybody tries to get, and the evidence is that it's like, I can't, every 5 minutes there's a new cell phone now.
The evidence is it all ends up on eBay.
But the desire of your heart, that's the promise that he'll give you. That didn't mean, oh, I want this or that. It means that you were created to be fulfilled in this one thing, the one mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's never ending. It never, ever, ever becomes boring, because there's infinite, countless wonders that he's showing you if you only open up. But if you get locked down and all of a sudden you find yourself looking only at the circumstances or the world or the situation or what you can perceive with your senses, pretty soon you are dull of hearing. And then you find, well, everything bothers you. And so then you revert back to the lusts. Well, if I only had this, or if this would only be taken care of, or that would happen. Or, but those aren't the things of life. Open out thou mine eyes, and I shall behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen? All right, one more thing, and then we'll quit. I'll quit now if you want me to. Man looks, you know, we are exhorted that we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. We are exhorted constantly and always to see, not see at, but see through. You know, man looks and sees one thing. Spirit looks and sees a never-ending mystery. Now, even in the scriptures. This is a quote from the Zohar. Woe unto those who see in the Torah nothing but simple narratives and ordinary words. Were this really the case, then could we not even today compose a law equally worthy of admiration? But it is quite otherwise with God's Torah. Every word contains an elevated sense and sublime mystery. The narratives of Torah, but the raiment in which it is swathed. Do not mistake raiment for Torah. The same way, in the same thing, it talks about the light that we see of the sun. Even the sun's light is only the garment that's covering the light of God. You're always going to ask, even if you don't ask it. You ask it by responses. Well, what can I do with this? Nothing. It's its own reward.
You just never trust in your senses. You find that, you know.
All right. The patterns, parables, and types of the Old Testament are a set of pictures directly from the hand of God by which we can comprehend the incomprehensible and be apprehended, or apprehend that which by which we have been apprehended. And so even, you know, the least studied book in the Bible is the book of Leviticus. And yet, for me, the book of Leviticus has more revelation of Christ than any other book of the Bible. Because it takes this incredible mystery of God and shows you how that by his one offering, every possible situation you could be in is met. By one offering, you have been perfected forever. All right, we'll get back to. We only got like 6 weeks or something until Tabernacles. So we got it.
I signed Glenn up this morning.
For what?
To help.
He's got to get healed before he can help.
What's his problem?
Anyway, anybody have any response to any of this?
Well, I understand this longing for the law, because the other way to deal with something yourself, like I have something that keeps coming back. I want to let it go, but it keeps coming back. So I long for, you know, this way rather than my way, because my way always goes the same.
That's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the end. Anyhow, All this was because I decided to talk about the ashes of the red heifer.
Got off on the
table. You need to leave some breadcrumbs so you can find your way back to where we started while we're here.
There's plenty of people that are searching for breadcrumbs so that I don't ever have to even look. Like, all right, take a big guy.
Harry, what was that date?
Satan's eBay store.